Let's talk tonight about understanding salvation. What we are saved from and what we are saved for. And regardless of how old you are in the Lord, I believe the Lord has a very clear understanding for us. And I want to talk about why this is so important. At times, I sense confusion among some of us as, is this person I'm concerned about saved? Are they a Christian? They believe in God. They were baptized. They went to church. But, you know, you're kind of confused because of where they are now. And I think part of the lack of, part of the confusion is lack of understanding of what salvation is. And so for that reason, I just believe the Lord put it on my heart to talk about it in a very simple, clear way that you can understand what God is saving us from and what He saved us for. Why did He save us? For what purpose? So let's talk about that tonight. Salvation, which is a process, is being rescued from sin. And I want you to notice it. It's like I have sin in capital letters. Do not think of sin as an act you do wrong. We're talking about sin that Paul talks about in Romans 7, the sin that is in our members, the law of sin and death. It's like a spiritual virus, the very nature of Satan that entered the world during the temptation of the garden. And look, this is what Paul said about how sin, that spiritual sickness entered the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world. See, he's not talking about an act. He's talking about that nature, the sin nature, the law of sin. Sin entered into the world and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. So this, when sin entered into the world, it spread to us all. So sin is Satan's disease that causes men to rebel against God. Yeah. And brothers, everyone born in the world is infected with this disease.
Amen.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Is this what they call original sin?
Huh?
Is this what they call original sin?
Yes. Original sin. It's from Satan. And think about it. Satan is the rebellious, the one who rebelled against God. And so sin has that kind of effect. It affects us and it breaks our fellowship with God. And everyone since Adam has been born with this, the infection of sin. And sin works in the background. Paul says in Romans 7:23, affecting the law of my mind.
Yes.
It affects the way men think. It affects, and of course, if the way you think has been corrupted and infected, your decisions are affected. Your choices are affected. You do things that don't make the best sense. You do things that you should know better because your mind, the law, the way you think, the way that God has made man as rational beings to use their mind and to reason, sin gets in there like someone, you know, they make these computer viruses and you have to be careful you don't open it up or it'll infect your computer. Well, sin is like that, like a spiritual virus. And so salvation is, God is trying to save us from this internal. You see, because we live in a prison where sin is the warden. You're under sin's control. And you think, wait a minute, I don't live in a prison. Oh, really? In a prison, don't they feed the prisoners? Satan feeds his people. In a prison, don't they give you rec time? Satan lets you have your rec time. You get to go out and do your things. That doesn't mean you're not in a prison. You're in a prison. He gives you what liberties he wants. But sin, you're in a prison. You're a prisoner of sin. Sin's the warden. This is what Paul said in Romans 7, 23 and 24. I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. And then he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? And the body of death is the body where sin is the warden. And you're the prisoner, and you're the slave, and oh yeah, slaves have to be fed too, don't they? I mean, masters feed their slaves, and they give them a little off time, but they're not free. And anyone that has not been freed by Jesus Christ is a prisoner and a slave of sin. So sin holds men as prisoners, enslaved, this spiritual law, this spiritual corruption. So salvation is being rescued from sin. You see what's up? This is one of the first confusions. Many people initially think of salvation as being forgiven for sinning. They look at it as forgiveness, instead of being rescued from the condition that they're in. And that's one of the elements of confusion, because there are people who are still slaves and prisoners of sin who think their sins are forgiven because they have some kind of faith about the cross, or they believe that Jesus died on the cross. But we'll look at the evidence and see, have they been rescued from sin? Have they been set free? Here's what Jesus, you know, the word Jesus, his name means Jehovah saves or delivers. Yes. And that's why he was given this name, because the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name the deliverer, for he shall save his people away from their sins. In other words, he'll rescue his people out of their sins. He didn't say he'll forgive his people for their sins. He said he'll rescue them. He'll save them out of them. We confuse being saved from something with being forgiven for it. And that's a confusion that causes many of us to think we're looking at someone who's still a prisoner of sin, and we think they've been forgiven because they have some kind of faith. They claim they went to church, or they say they believe in God. That's not the question, okay? Look what Jesus said about how do you know if sin is in your life? You better be careful. Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. But he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free from slavery to sin. Free from being a prisoner of sin. So salvation is freedom from sin's control. See, that's what salvation is. It's you have been saved from being controlled by sin. That's what salvation is. You're no longer sin's prisoner. You're no longer sin's slave. So when asking, has someone been saved? The real question is, have they been rescued? Are they free to love and serve the Lord? Why don't you ask that? Don't ask them whether they believe Jesus is. Are they serving the Lord now? Are they free? Do they love Him? Do they worship Him? Do they enjoy walking with Him? Then I don't believe they've been rescued. Because sin doesn't want people serving the Lord. Sin doesn't care whether you believe that God is real. Sin doesn't care that you believe Jesus died on the cross. Sin doesn't want people loving the Lord, serving the Lord. And if you've really been set free from sin, you know how you can tell? You start loving and serving the Lord.
Amen.
Ask that about those people you're concerned about in your life. Is that what they're doing? Then they're not free. they're still under sin's control, regardless of what happened in their past. You see how it clears up the confusion? Because a lot of us said, well, they're not serving the Lord now. Well, at least they're a Christian. Well, I think they're a Christian. Oh, really? How? Are they free? Do they love and serve the Lord? And what makes you think they're free if they're not serving Him? Christianity, as I said before, is often mistaken as having belief in Jesus. Salvation is often perceived as having forgiveness for our sins. Now, we do know that it does involve having our sins forgiven. Well, what do you think? If you don't have the freedom, you think you've got the forgiveness? What do you think? You know what Jesus said? He who has been forgiven much, finish it for me, loves much. You know, if a person's really been forgiven, if they really have come to understand what sin is and what they've done to God, and they've experienced a godly sorrow and a wonderful forgiveness, you know the genuine evidence is? Their response is they love God. And they want to serve Him. And they want to get to know Him. And they want to walk with Him. See, that's the true evidence that sins have been forgiven, is you're free from sin's control. And now you want to walk with God. Now you want to serve the Lord.
Over there. For the...
Yes.
Yeah, and you have to fast and then pray a lot and ask forgiveness and ask for to be set free from infatuation.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit, about what this freedom means. This is... Let's understand something about slavery. Yes, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Vivian.
In essence, what you're saying is that we now change wardens.
Yes. In a sense, we'll talk about that. You're right. And this is where there's a misunderstanding on the cross, because this is where forgiveness does come in. Our sins gave basically Satan the right to own us. He kept us in slavery, because according to God's righteous law, the soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. And you know, slaves were held by a master. But if someone came and paid their debt, paid the price for that slave, that person could set that slave free. And when Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, His death was to cancel our debt and set us free from sin. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. They just think that it's only about their sins being forgiven. It's sin is forgiven, the debt is paid, and we're then set free from sin.
Amen.
And this is what Paul said in Romans 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be neutralized. Your versions might say put to death, or might be put out of order. The Greek word is to be unemployed, to stop working. So that, in other words, the control of sin has been neutralized. So that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Can it be any clearer? That's why He died. We were crucified with Him that we would no longer be under sin's control. He who has died is freed from sin, meaning freed from sin's control. He's no longer a prisoner. He's no longer a slave. Now hold on, follow me. Faith in Jesus not only forgives men for sins, faith in Jesus frees men from sin's control. The next thing is very important to follow me. Salvation and being free does not mean free from temptation. We live in the world. Just because you're no longer a prisoner of sin or a slave of sin doesn't mean you will not wrestle with the old master. Jesus wasn't ever a slave of sin. He was tempted. Temptation is not sin. I'm tempted at times about things. That doesn't mean something's wrong. I live in this world. Satan tempted Jesus. Jesus did nothing wrong during that temptation. So we're going to feel temptation. And in this world, we will always struggle with temptation. But the difference is salvation is the freedom and the ability to say no to temptation.
Brother,
yes.
I think it is interesting to note that when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, Jesus refused Satan by quoting
the scripture.
The scripture.
That's right.
Especially the book of Deuteronomy, you know, because all the answers of the Lord Jesus to Satan came from the scriptures.
Right.
That's why I feel that it is important for us to immerse ourselves in the scriptures so that we can stand firm against the wiles of the devil.
It's one of the evidences, okay? Let me tell you, it's an evidence that you've actually become a Christian is a hunger and thirst for the Word. Because in 1 Peter it says, like newborn babes crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word.
Amen.
No one has to tell a baby that's born you need to nurse. They're looking for mama, you know, and it's something that... It's not a very good sign if you've lost or you don't have a hunger for the Word. The evidence that you've been saved is a new ability to say no to temptation and to deny your old man. Vivian mentioned it's a change of masters. It's also a change of nature.
Yeah.
The things that once were natural to you, the ugliness that you just lived in, suddenly you hate. I don't like being mean to people. I don't like being unkind. I don't like losing it. I'm not comfortable. I'm still tempted to do it.
Yeah.
But now it's a new nature. You know, if I take a pig out of the pigsty, you know, I put a rope on him and I drag him out. And I take a hose and I wash him down. And as soon as I let him go, where's he going to go? Right back where, because that's his nature.
Yeah.
But what if I take a cat and I throw him in a mud hole, and I just push him down in the mud, just make him filthy? What's that cat going to do?
It's going to scratch you.
Well, what he's going to do is as soon as he can, lick every single bit of that off of him, because he has a different nature.
Yes.
You see, salvation, when you have been set free from sin, you start to live as a new person.
Yes.
Whereas you were led by the flesh, the old man, now you're being led by the Spirit. Yes.
But what if a person falls into the temptation and commits that sin?
They can't stay there. They won't be able to stay there long. It'll be miserable for them. And if they stay there too long, if it stays there too long, it'll kill them. It will. Yeah, if you walk according to the flesh, you'll die if you're not careful. So, if someone really is a Christian, okay, what evidence do we look for? Don't say, well, they claim to believe in God. No, that's not enough evidence. Don't say that they were baptized in the church 25 years ago and they haven't been to church, they don't attend church regularly ever. So what? What has the baptism done for them? What does their claim to believe in God do for them? Have they been set free from sin and is it birthed in them this desire to love and serve the Lord?
Amen.
If you don't see that, you're not looking at a Christian. I don't care what has happened to them. I don't care what they claim to believe. You're not looking at a Christian.
Amen.
do they live by the flesh? Which is the flesh is that part of us that's controlled by sin. Or do they live by the Spirit, that part of us that is free? Romans 8:14 says, all who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God.
Amen.
That's who the sons of God are. They're the ones who've been saved because they're free. They're free from sin. And like Vivian said, they have a new master. The Holy Spirit is now the warden, guiding them, giving them freedom. It's not enough to have a belief in God. Demons believe in Jesus.
Yes.
You remember what the demons would always say to Jesus? We know who you are, the Son of God.
Yes.
They weren't saved. Just because your son or daughter or your friend or your neighbor claims that they believe in God or they believe in Jesus, the question is, are they free from sin? Are they loving and serving the Lord? Because, man, when someone has been set free from sin, they begin to be led by the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Do you see the Holy Spirit leading them to love and serve the Lord? Is that what you're seeing in your son or your daughter? If you're not seeing it, you're not looking at a Christian. Don't get confused by them claiming to have some kind of faith.
Yeah, a lot different to believe in him than to follow him.
Yeah. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, in other words, if they've changed wardens, if now sin is not their master, Jesus Christ is now their master, he is a new creation. If anyone, that's not saying if preachers or missionary, if you are genuinely a Christian, you are a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. All things. And this leads to the second question. What are we saved for? That's another way you can tell. But what does this new creation do? God makes a new creation. What does he want this new creation to do?
Praise the Lord.
Huh? Yeah, let's look and see. Look what he said. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And he has committed to us, the new creations. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. And he has committed to us, the new creations, the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So how can you tell? What has God saved us for? To make us ambassadors for God. Is that person you're thinking about in your life right now, your son or your daughter, are they ambassadors for God? Do they live to help other people find God? Do they live to do the will of God? Are they living to serve God? Because that's what an ambassador does. An ambassador represents the person he's been sent. And if you are a new creation in Christ, God has made you that so you can become his ambassador to other people.
Brother.
Yes.
In all churches, regardless of which denomination, if we take a close look at all congregations, at the present time, most congregations are made up of senior citizens.
Yeah.
Whenever we go to a church, I always tell Dolores, just look at the age of the congregants, senior citizens. Now, those senior citizens have sons, daughters, grandsons,
right,
and granddaughters.
Right.
Where are they?
I know. Can I just say this?
Yes, sir.
We may want to comfort ourselves to think that a son or daughter who's not even attending church is a Christian. But let me tell you, you are deceiving yourself.
Yes.
That's what you're doing.
Yes.
And you're lowering the standard of salvation so low that some of the demons and the devil has a chance to get saved.
Hey, you do.
You know, that's just, that's, Christ died and his death was a value. And it just cheapens his death to just call anyone a Christian because you don't want to think of them as suffering the wrath of God. Like he doesn't deserve them to be his ambassador. It's really okay with him for them to just walk around and have this belief in God and I believe in Jesus and they're never even in church. They don't seek to bring other people to God. But that's okay with you because at least in your mind, you get to think of them as going to heaven. That's selfish. That's not why God saves people. We if we're not careful, we turn salvation into something it was never made for.
That's it.
And that's the danger. That's why this teaching tonight is so important.
Yes.
If someone claims to have faith, but they do not live to serve God as an ambassador, they're not saved. It's not saved. The evidence of saving faith is freedom from slavery to sin. Old things passing away and a new creation who lives to serve God as an ambassador. This is what Ezekiel said. You see this. And this is the scripture telling us what we are saved for. What purpose God saved us for. That's what he says in chapter 36 of the prophet Ezekiel. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. That's the ambassador. When God saves a person so that the other people in that person's life can see that God is holy. That's why he saves people. We are to be holy because he is holy. Because he has saved us to make his name great. The first thing the Lord said to mention when we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Lord understood that God wants his name to be revered. And it is not showing God reverence. You claim to believe in him. You don't even take the time to go to church. That is ridiculous. And that such a person is not a believer. They're not saved. They have some dead, empty faith. That's not what God does. Yeah, Vivian.
At home were like two individuals who attempted to drink alcohol. But both of them have been diagnosed as having a bad stomach, and every time they drink alcohol, they're going to get a bad stomach. Now, one of them is saved, and he of course, fights off temptations with the Lord's help. But if the other person is not saved, all he does, he just thinks of the pain in the stomach, and that's the only thing, for instance. The one is saved and one is not saved.
Yeah. This is what we're saved for. That the powerful work of the new creation, the fact that we've been set free from being a prisoner to sin, so that now we love and serve the Lord, that's what we're saved for. And then in this passage in Ezekiel goes on to say, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. This is what we are saved for. To show people that God can give us a new heart, a new spirit. Make us a brand new person. Old habits pass away. Yeah. All things become new. Not instantly, not at once. When you're born again, you start off like a little baby. You learn to walk. You get stronger. You learn to talk. You grow up. You get your balance. You know, babies fall a lot, don't they? Especially when you're first learning to walk, you fall a bunch of times, but you keep going, don't you? And eventually you don't fall as often, and you get bigger and you get stronger. So it takes time. Don't think you have to just achieve, but it have you been made a new creation? Has the change begun? Is there evidence that you are now free because suddenly you're wanting to serve and love the Lord? Even if you're still working and growing and stumbling along the way, okay?
So when you come to church, sir, is it like you tell God, you tell Jesus, forgive me for my sins? Do you have to tell him every Sunday, or he already knows?
Well, he knows. What you always want to do is just, Lord, continue to show me if I'm doing something wrong. Yeah, and just, Lord, just continually thank him that he's willing to forgive us when we do things that are wrong. He sees the heart of that. And you see, Clemente, what's beautiful about that is God knows the heart. Let's say, you know, you're going west. You know, the Lord's out there in the west. You're going west. And you fall a few times, you're going west. What about that guy going east? He sees God, he turns around, he's going east. He's going the opposite direction. He's going to fall too, but your fall and his fall is two different things, because you're going toward the Lord. He's going the opposite direction. God knows our direction. And if we've been changed, we're now seeking the Lord. We're going towards the Lord and for the Lord. And,
brother,
yes.
Clemente, even the Apostle Paul, knowledgeable as he was, and a true servant of the Lord, even Paul exclaimed, not that I have already obtained it, but I press on. You see, Paul said, not that I have already obtained it, but I press on towards the goal. So,
yeah, and this desire that God births in us by the Holy Spirit is suddenly we don't want to do what's displeasing to God.
That's it.
We don't want to give him a bad name. You know, it's interesting. Now, not all of us have a great relationship with our father. But most people have a respect for their mom. And you know, if I were to insult your mother, oh, your mother was a whore. I mean, people will get mad and they'll start swinging at you. But people do that to God's name all the time.
Yeah.
People claim to be a Christian and they claim they believe in God and they drag his name through the mud all the time and no one gets bent out of shape. Look, if you're not going to live for him, don't claim to believe in him.
That's it.
Don't drag his name to the mud. You're a member of this church. Walk uprightly. You're going to give us a bad name. Because your actions speak louder than words. Our actions should bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If our faith is real. Yeah, Vivian.
In Revelation, there's a number, 144,000 marching toward God, or God's army. And at the same time, a couple of verses down above that, I talked about the unnumbered group of people who are followers of God. So you may think, well, 144,000, that's a lot of big numbers, but really it's a limiting number. Maybe there are very, very few people who actually claim to be Christians who actually are Christians.
Well, that's what Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter therein. And narrow is the way and small is the gate that leads to life.
And few
there be that find it. two more slides, and let's wrap this up. Men are rescued from slavery and prisoners and being a prisoner to sin to make them new creations to serve God as ambassadors. This is the real purpose of God's grace. But you know what false teachers and bad theology have turned the truth of grace into? A get out of hell free pass.
Yeah.
And some of you have been very happy to give your son or daughter that get out of hell free pass in your mind. Because they claim they never come to church, they don't serve the Lord, they don't show any evidence that they're his ambassadors. But you're just glad that they're not going to go to hell. Yep.
How can we make them come?
You can't, but you can pray and intercede with God to wake them up. Because they deceive themselves. And if God were to leave them alone, you know what I mean? If he just left them alone and did not wake them up, they're in a terrible state. That's where you go to God for them and you plead, Lord, wake them up. Lord, don't just give them over to this idea. That's where your intercession, you stand in the gap. You pray for them and it's wonderful to be able to pray for them because we know they're being stubborn. We know they've deceived themselves, but this is a beautiful truth. We know that God doesn't want to destroy them. What he wants is all men to repent.
Yes.
He wants men to change. So as long as they're breathing, we have hope. Well, it's just we just don't be like that widow of the judge. Persevere. You know, over and over and over, just continue to pray. Don't give up. Sometimes they need to be soaked in a lot of prayer before that hardness softens. You know, but
when my daughter found the Lord, I thought she was crazy. I was like, what's wrong with her? Yeah. She's like trembling.
Wow.
And he goes, I'm praying for you, Dad, so you can find the Lord. And she kept on praying and praying and praying. And I passed through this street right here, and something told me, me and Adam, we just made a huge journey. Hey, give me that food. I was hooked.
There you go. Yeah, wonderful. So, listen. Beware of oversimplifying. Okay, the Bible does say, when that Philippian jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And you and your house. And that's true. But genuine belief in Jesus Christ sets people free from sin and makes them a new creation so that they're saved from sin and they're saved for the purpose now loving God, yeah. Serving God, yeah. As an ambassador. Beware of this idea. Just believe in Jesus and all your sins are forgiven and you'll go to heaven. Because that's what we've turned grace into. And that's why there's all kind of people walking around that we don't know if they're Christian or not. They're never in church. They don't read their Bible. They're not living to bring other people to God. They're not living as an ambassador. They just claim they believe in Jesus.
True belief leads to action. Yeah.
Remember what the Bible says about faith without works is?
Dead.
Okay, so salvation without freedom is dead. Salvation that doesn't lead to our being an ambassador for God is dead.
Yes.
Yes, Vivian.
It's kind of a mistake that some people make when they first come to know Jesus Christ, or God, Christ enters their heart. They feel bad because they can't do everything that they see somebody else doing.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is that you're going to start as a child.
Mm-hmm.
You can grow into the
park,
so to speak.
Right. And that's wonderful because we love it when children start walking, don't we? They may fall a dozen times. We're still happy. We're still showing videos of those first few steps, as wobbly as they are, because it's evidence of growth. Again, remember, salvation and freedom from sin is not freedom from temptation. We'll still struggle. and you'll grow stronger in dealing with temptation. You know, you may fall some, but you won't fall as much. You know, don't y'all see the difference? A 1-year-old, when they're first, they'll probably fall dozens of times. When the ground's uneven, they fall even more. You know, because their heads are so big, it pulls them over. But then by the time they're 2, they're not falling near as often. By the time they're 3, they're running circles around the place. By the time they're 4, you wish they were 2 again, you know, because you can't keep up with them. So there's growth, all right? This becoming an ambassador and growing up takes time. But you need to see the evidence that someone has been set free from sin if they've been saved. And you know what this will do? This will give you an opportunity. Now you can have conversations with the people in your life. When they pop that, "Well, I believe in Jesus," on you, now you know. You tell them the evidence. The evidence that you have genuine faith is you've been set free from sin to love and serve the Lord as an ambassador. And you don't buy anything else. Okay? That's why this is important. All right. We're done.